Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on this Wednesday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, and I'm joined, as always, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you this morning?
Doing good here Wednesday, halfway home to the weekend here, sort of that in-between here where Major League Baseball tries to take center stage before the NFL picks up some steam on a Thursday. But we got a lot to get to here over the next 2 hours here on The Early Line, Kevin.
We certainly do. We will start things off with our 7-7 top headlines here and some NFL news and notes where the Houston Texans have now placed Tyrod Taylor on the IR, going to cost him more than just this Thursday's matchup, Donnie, against the Carolina Panthers.
Hamstring injuries devastating to skilled athletes. Now, maybe Big Ben gets a hamstring injury here. Not that big of a deal because he stays in the pocket. But Tyrod Taylor, an athletic guy, mobile outside the pocket. And what a shame this is. They played very well week one, Kevin. Week two here, right in the football game. I believe Tyrod Taylor, what, 9 of 10 or 10 of 11 to start that game with a touchdown pass, goes down with the injury. Would have been very interesting if Tyrod Taylor played that entire game versus the Browns. But, hey, it's all about the Houston Texans this year, I guess, finishing in the bottom two or three, getting a top draft pick and moving on from Deshaun Watson. It is what it is, as we like to say.
And to your point, though, a touchdown in the air, touchdown on the ground, and a tie game against the Browns at half. And then he didn't play in the second half of that game. Thursday Night Football will feature the Texans this week. Davis Mills steps in that starting quarterback position. Also an update, though, Donnie mentioned Big Ben not dealing with a hamstring injury, a pec injury for the Steelers quarterback here. Looks like perhaps an explanation as to why this Steelers offense looks so horrific.
Maybe he had the pec injury going back to like week 11 last year. I don't know, because the Steelers offense has looked the same for, quite frankly, the past year. It seems like now a pec injury. But what's going to change, Kevin? Their offense is dink and dunk, lob ball to Claypool. So even with this injury, how much do the Steelers actually change if he is injured?
It's going to be really interesting to see the progression of Big Ben's health. It certainly will be tied to their results. A big AFC North matchup for them against the Bengals this week. We'll expand on that coming up here in this hour. But an NBA headline makes its way into a September slate, which I love to see. And it's more Ben Simmons 76ers drama, as Ben Simmons has absolutely zero intentions to ever essentially, Donnie, show up to the 76ers facility.
Yeah, Sixers fans saying, no, Ben Simmons, this isn't the way it works. When we're done with you, we're done with you. If you're done with us, we're not done with you just yet here. So both sides digging in here, as, you know, Rich Paul, hey, he's got to go to a California team. The Sixers trying to mend fences here. Doesn't look like it's going to work out that well. The only question is how many fines does Ben Simmons rack up as he tries to sit out, and what the value across the market is. Kevin, we've talked so many times about athletes and holdouts. When you want to get your way, you have to appease both sides here. So even if he didn't want to be in Philadelphia, hey, Ben, come to practice here. I guarantee within the first week of training camp, you will be moved. Just be a happy camper. Put a smile on your face here for 4 to 5 days, and we will get you out of town where you want to go. Not showing up here. Now both sides dig in, and now it gets a little bit uglier than it should have been. Both sides are playing this wrong, but particularly for me, from Rich Paul's end. If you want your client out of town, put on a smiley face here for 1 week. Trust me, he'll be out of town.
Totally disagree, which is not all that surprising. The Sixers have put themselves in this own position. We bring the radio audience the fold here. Appreciate all those listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here again on this Wednesday morning. It's not great when your head coach and fellow star tell everybody, hey, that guy's a jabroni, and the reason we're eliminated from the playoffs, yes, he's never showing up again. You all said you were done with him. He's like, cool, I am also done. Whoa. Yeah, no wonder why you can't get 7 first-round picks when you told the rest of the NBA the guy isn't worth a first-round pick. Good luck, Daryl. He ain't showing up, and eventually he will be gone. Moving, though, to some positive Philly news to the people. JT Realmuto with a walk-off double. Bryce Harper scores the winning run, and the Phillies avoid losing the first 2 games of a series at home to the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, usually it's a celebration here, right, when you beat the Dodgers on a walk-off, not when you beat one of the worst teams in baseball over the past couple years. It's not really a cause for celebration, but the one thing that might be a cause for celebration, Bryce Harper hitting .313 on the season, the favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win MVP. It's Bryce Harper's Philadelphia Phillies here trying to get into the playoffs, which they won't.
The hustle man, Bryce. No matter how many bases you think he's going to pick up, he thinks he has one more in him worked out to end that game. The St. Louis Cardinals, winners of 10 in a row, and they keep beating good baseball teams, taking the first 2 games of a set in Milwaukee, Donnie.
Impressive. Stay off the tracks or you're going to get run over by the train. That is the St. Louis Cardinals right now. And you are so correct. How do you get back in a playoff race and solidify yourself in a playoff race? Beat everybody who's ahead of you mercilessly. And that's what they've been doing, which is impressive. I didn't see it coming. Yesterday, I told you I saw it coming, but I actually really didn't. Kevin saw this one coming. And I thought he was crazy, but obviously smart crazy.
Yeah. Some real interesting stuff. Also, I had a little placeholder here. I knew I was going to give a Dodgers-Giants update. I should have known, Donnie, the update was going to be they both won again.
Of course. Yeah. And always. That's the way it is here. They'll both win 119 games, if that's even possible, and probably play in a tie one more game.
It's going to be outrageous. Last headline from the college football world, Rutgers suspending some key cornerbacks as they have a big tilt this upcoming weekend against Michigan. We'll follow that game certainly deep into the week. Up next, we talk some NFL news and notes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early lineup. I want to start to get off with a little NFL news and notes here around a couple of quarterbacks. And we go to Houston where the Texans now lose Tyrod Taylor to the IR, which is going to cost him a couple of games here. They're going to have to go to Davis Mills, who is certainly an unknown at the quarterback position. One touchdown, one interception in a half of football played against the Cleveland Browns. And this is going to be an interesting thing to follow, Donnie, because the Texans had a tremendous week one performance against Jacksonville or not. They put up 37 points, picked off Trevor Lawrence 3 times, and they looked great. And then they had a tie game at Cleveland with Tyrod available to them. It's interesting now because this was supposed to be the NFL's worst team by far and away. I wonder if this transition from Tyrod to Mills puts them back in that position.
I think it does, and it's kind of interesting when you put it in perspective what the Texans, Kevin, actually want out of the 2021 season. You see Tyrod Taylor come into the season, and I thought they would win opening week. I really did, and they did. They go on the road. I'm like, this is probably one of those spots here, double-digit dogs. They should get smoked, and they were playing good competitive football, which I want to say also, credit David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans. You can't script a worse offseason of turmoil, despair, players don't want to be there, the laughingstock of the NFL. And he somehow got that team to rally around him and play good football out of the gates. Now, I'm not going to say that they're going to fall off a cliff, but anytime you go from a quarterback that is playing well, that's a veteran, that's been around the league, to a rookie, I think we know what we're going to get. Case in point, you're taking a look at the New York Jets here with Zach Wilson. You're going to go through some growing pains, and certainly the talent level is pretty void of what you're used to in the NFL from around locker rooms. Now, one of the better plays it looks like this year on a prop bet was you with Brandon Cooks on the outside. If there's going to be one wide receiver on a bad football team that's always going to be losing, he's going to get a big-time target share, which he is. But we also know that Brandon Cooks is a smaller wide receiver, some concussion issues, injury issues in the past. If he goes down, it could get really ugly, particularly with a rookie quarterback. It's a shame for Tyrod Taylor because also, let's talk about Tyrod Taylor in the NFL. Not exactly getting the greatest breaks across the league, no matter where he shows up, whether it's injuries, concussions, or just getting a needle before the game that punctures his lung, which allows Justin Herbert to take over as a starter for the Chargers. Look, he's one of those quarterbacks you like to have on your team, and obviously he's good in the room and certainly can command the huddle. It's just a shame because maybe we were looking at a Texans team that could have hit their team total 4, 5, or 6 games the way they were playing the first two games of the season. But again, yeah, from inside that organization, Kevin, is it really a bad thing that Tyrod Taylor went down and they're probably going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL to increase their draft stock? Maybe so.
At the end of the day, right, they need all of the draft capital possible because we've, even if it's not to draft a quarterback specifically this coming year, they might be better off not drafting a quarterback next NFL draft. We'll see. Depends what the quarterback class looks like. But you're right, Donnie, because this team is, you know, devoid of talent for pretty much at every single position group on the roster. What's interesting to me, though, is actually something you brought up, is their win total preseason of a 4. You know, for those that follow producers' plays, Brian, you know, big card Brian, that was his favorite play to the under. They have an updated win total right now on 4.5 for the Houston Texans. And it's so funny because my natural instinct, Don, is to be like, all right, well, here are the games now that they're going to miss Tyrod Taylor for. But whether it was Tyrod or whether it's Davis Mills or even in some respect, if Deshaun Watson came back around, probably dogs across the board here. If you look at that 4.5, I wonder if we get to a point where on this Thursday game, we get a real sense as to just how bad things can be for this team without Tyrod. Because as you mentioned, whether they, you know, IR is going to cost them 3 games, okay, fine. A hamstring injury for a team that rather not. Like last year, the Jaguars all of a sudden were like, yeah, Gardner Minshew's actually been injured for months. But like, hold on a minute. Now, wasn't it just like a finger injury? Certainly he could get back out there. It doesn't surprise me if we don't see Tyrod for much longer than people expect. And maybe a live under 4.5 win total on the Texans makes sense.
It could be, though, but if you look at the actual schedule here, because I do think there might have been a missed opportunity. We're talking preseason, right? We didn't know the Carolina Panthers would be out to a 2-0 start here, probably figuring more of 1-1, and hey, Sam Darnold, how's he going to look out here? They look really good. So maybe if Tyrod Taylor was healthy, and you said, because, you know, when you asked me questions about Thursday Night Football, I never want to back the road team here. So that might have been a legitimate chance to win. But look after that. Let's just say even if Tyrod Taylor was playing at the Bills, Patriots, at the Colts, at the Cardinals, Rams, and at the Dolphins before the bye week. Oh, yeah, and you come back and play the Titans. But by the time Tyrod gets healthy here and you only have the one win, you get the Jets at home. You get the Colts at home. We'll see if Carson Wentz is still healthy by that time. You have the Jaguars on the road. Like, you have some chances to possibly get around that 4 number. I'm just looking at the schedule saying, how many wins were you supposed to get early on anyway if you are the Texans? It's a shame because maybe you could have stolen that game against the Browns. Like, look, the Browns won by 10 points, so there's no saying if Tyrod played the whole game, they would have won. But it looked like they were going to be competitive in that one, and maybe the loss, or the win, I should say, that would have gotten you over that team total was a home Thursday night football game with Tyrod Taylor playing well.
It is a really, really good point. I do want to give people an update also around Big Ben, and I want to do it under the same guidelines. The live Steelers win total is 8.5. But this now gets really interesting, Donnie, because Pittsburgh is a team that is 1-1 with a win against the Buffalo Bills, and I couldn't be lower on this group with what happened against Vegas because they were horrible against Buffalo, but they were able to get a punt return, touchdown, and do enough to win that football game. And against Vegas, they were not able to do enough to win that game. Only 17 points at home against that Raiders defense is wildly concerning. So if you were to ask me with, you know, the idea that Big Ben was healthy, I think I would choose under 8.5 as opposed to the over. But now, Donnie, if we kind of are willing to make a jump here, there's a world you're betting under 8.5 Pittsburgh Steelers win on a team that has not only a banged up Big Ben, but also a banged up TJ Watt.
Yeah, this is a game that you circled before the season once again. You said, you know, Buffalo Bills go on the road. I thought the Buffalo Bills would win that game, regardless of the outcome and what actually happened. Thought they would beat the Raiders, which they lost. And then you can beat the Bengals because you're at home. That's what you're supposed to do. But you're catching the Bengals probably at the worst time. Not from a Bengals perspective here, Kevin, but as you put out, from a Steelers perspective. I have a quarterback that has a pec injury. Yeah, that's really going to help the passing game, so to speak. I have a defense which is all world out here. Everybody with a groin injury on that defense. So if you lose one of these games, which in your win column before the season was an automatic win or so you thought it was, take a look at the games right behind it. At the Green Bay Packers, the Denver Broncos look like a really formidable opponent coming into Pittsburgh, followed by the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson will play you anytime, anywhere, and battle you. Then you go into the bye week, and you go on the road against the Cleveland Browns. This could get ugly quickly here because this is an organization that's used to success right now and sort of bringing the band back together one more time. Great defense out here. Let's pay T.J. Watt. Let's get Big Ben an actual running game and draft a running back who is legitimate in college football. Mix up the offensive line, change coordinators. Let's see what we can do. It hasn't worked out well for the past 2 weeks, even though they are 1-1. And yes, they did beat one of the upper echelon teams in the NFL in the Buffalo Bills. But this is a huge game, not necessarily for the Steelers to get into the playoffs, but more of a psyche game. What happens if the Bengals come into town and beat the Steelers here? You know, everything is going to go off the rails, or the possibility could go off the rails here for them.
And that is the key thing. The psyche of the Steelers is not one that I trust to hold up if the wheels start to fall off. Again, Mike Tomlin at this point is probably one of the more underrated coaches in the NFL simply because the man has never been below 500 and yet every single season finds himself on the hot seat in Pittsburgh, which is not really how that should play out. But I don't know if this is a group that survives a 2-5 start, Donnie, right? When we look at their first seven games, and there's a lot of difficult ones on the slate there. And again, it doesn't surprise me if Big Ben misses time, because that's just the natural state of Big Ben. When was the last time we were like, oh, Big Ben is 100% fully healthy in the clear? 5 years ago? 6 years? Like, it's been a long time as it pertains to a 100% Big Ben. And now we know with absolute, you know, 100% evidence, he's not 100%. It makes the Steelers a really interesting team moving forward. Take a break here on the early line. We're coming on back looking at some of the action from yesterday's Major League Baseball board and the updated wildcard standings across the AL and the NL. Keep it right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back right here on Sports Grid, and Major League Baseball race to the postseason is continuing to heat up. A lot of good results on the card last night. And I think the one that we have to start with, though, is the Philadelphia Phillies win over the Baltimore Orioles. Now, this shouldn't have to be as close as it was, but that is apparently the nature of the Phillies. They have some incredible similarities to the Yankees in their ability to constantly frustrate their fans with performances against awful baseball teams that shouldn't be all that close. But nevertheless, they got the win. And this is the thing about the Phillies as they sit right now, three back of the Atlanta Braves. They play, they being the Philadelphia Phillies, Donnie, Atlanta and awful baseball teams the rest of the way. They are plus 310 to win the NL East. I can't help but, you know this team better than I do, I can't help but look at that plus 310 as a bit of value on the Phils.
Yeah, look away from that 310. I don't know if there's any value on that 310. This coming from a big-time Philadelphia Phillies fan who watches each and every night, and I'm just in bewilderment where you get a couple good starts, Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler. You see what you get out of Gibson. and then you just throw two games away every week with a bullpen game. Now, credit the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen, even though, yes, they played a team that now sits 48-103, and you went like 16 straight innings or whatever, 15 straight innings against the Orioles, and couldn't produce a single run against that ball club. Stole one in the ninth inning with two outs, excuse me, in extra innings with two outs here on a JT Realmuto triple that drove in two runs for a 3-2 victory. That's fantastic. But this shouldn't be fantastic. Do you see what the Atlanta Braves are doing out there in the desert? They are pummeling the Diamondbacks. If we rewind the clock, Kevin, about 30 days, I remember when the Phillies were hot and they went on a West Coast swing. All right, you're going to play some tough teams. We're going to get a couple games here against the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks look like the reincarnated Yankees of like the 1920s and pummeled them all the way across. That's not happening now. The Atlanta Braves, and I know everybody looks toward this. You play bad baseball teams. Well, how about the bad baseball team with the Pittsburgh Pirates giving it to the Reds last night, 6-2? They're not rolling over and giving up. The Orioles aren't rolling over giving up. And I guess I'm under the notion here from Philly's back. It's like, ooh, we got three games left with the Braves. As if you're going to sweep the Braves when you struggle with the Orioles and the Diamondbacks of the world and the Chicago Cubs of the world. It's fun that baseball is still in our lives here in Philadelphia for at least the next week and a half. But I don't see very many high hopes, as we like to say in Philadelphia, for actually making it to the postseason.
I can't get over the schedule, even though I know better, because I know that playing bad teams hasn't necessarily ended up in good results for this Phillies baseball team. Another team we have to bring up in the National League is the St. Louis Cardinals. This is, you worked yourself into a shoot, brother, with this Cardinals team here, who has now won 10 games in a row, gone from 85-1 to win the National League to 21-1 to win the National League. Here's where the Cardinals, though, Donnie, have kind of transitioned as they sit four games up on the next closest team in this wild card race, is the conversation is starting to shift from, is there any value on St. Louis, to is this St. Louis team for real? Where now, in a one-game elimination, either the Dodgers or the Giants are going to be stuck playing baseball's hottest team.
It's interesting. It's very interesting because this is one of those ball clubs which I wrote off about a month ago. I know I wrote off the San Diego Padres, which was kind of funny. So wait a second. If I'm writing off this team, that team, that means either the Mets or the Phillies are going to have to take this wild card without realizing that the only team left standing was probably going to be the Cardinals in this spot if I was so down on the San Diego Padres. Now look at them. You're right. One of the hottest teams in baseball. And in a one-game playoff, the way like a Wainwright or maybe a Flaherty can pitch, you never know what can take place here. But it seems like, Kevin, nobody is paying attention to them. It's almost like a foregone conclusion. Like, Cardinals get in the playoffs to get bounced in the first game or first series, as we like to say. But it's no longer a series. You don't get 3, 5, or 7 games here to try to match metal. It's one game. Your pitcher can have a very good performance. The other pitcher can have a bad performance. You know, hitters can go into the tank for one game stretches. We see it all the time. This is one of those teams to maybe keep an eye out here for come playoff time, because certainly nobody's been paying attention to them, even though they are the hottest team in Major League Baseball right now.
And the thing about the Cardinals that is so different from when we've seen your NL East teams go on a run, which is, they were playing the Pirates, Diamondbacks, and, the Marlins during this run. They've won 12 of their last 13 games. Two wins against the Dodgers, two against Cincinnati, swept the Mets, swept the Padres, two against Milwaukee. These are all teams competing or in the postseason race here that St. Louis is now putting the results up against. And I don't think it is insignificant when you talk about a team's preseason pedigree and preseason expectations. For example, if the Yankees figured it out and would have actually remained in a pole position in that AL wild card, that would have been a very frightening thing, and the odds would have respected them because they were supposed to be the American League favorites. St. Louis is a team that was supposed to win the NL Central, was supposed to be in the playoffs, and they're now putting up the results that match those preseason expectations. So this isn't a case of a Marlins who made the playoffs last year with that elevated field, and you go, yeah, but come on, what are they actually going to do? This is a St. Louis team that is supposed to belong here, and right now all signs indicate they will play in a wild card game against either the Dodgers or the Giants, and good luck figuring out whether it's going to be the Dodgers or the Giants. To shift over to the American League, Donnie, a situation last night where all the prime candidates were able to get a win. The Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox. And now kind of the back and forth exchange sees Seattle take their second straight game off of Oakland. If I can start there, when you look at the AL wildcard race, do you still consider Seattle or Oakland as a part of it?
I really don't. I really don't at this point. But also, we have to try to factor in also, Kevin, that coming down the stretch, the Yankees are going to be playing teams that are ahead of them. Therefore, if they're splitting and the Oakland Athletics can get hot or the Mariners can get hot, that's how you jump baseball teams. But it's a good point you bring up because sometimes, you know, psychologically, we're so focused on Boston, on Toronto, and the Yankees. Who's going to get those two seeds here out of those three teams when you're not far behind? And the same way we talked about the Yankees on their 13-game win streak, it's very easily at the worst moments when the pressure is on the most that you can tank. You can lose five of six games. The Oakland Athletics can win 5 of 6 games, and there goes your lead. Not only did you have a half-game lead or a two-game lead, now you're looking 2 back with 3 to play. It's very possible, but I do agree with your point here. I just feel like I'm leaving out Oakland and Seattle because I'm so focused on the American League East teams here.
The interesting thing about those two ball clubs is they're very clearly being left out when you look at the odds to win the American League. The Yankees are 12-1 to win the AL. Oakland, right behind them, 85-1. Seattle, 190-1. Which is interesting, Donnie, to see those numbers be so aggressive. Is a part of that an idea that even if Seattle or in Oakland found themselves in a one-game elimination, they would be pretty hefty underdogs? Seattle, I can see it, but this is still an Oakland team that when I look at their perennial, you know, their perennial playoff contenders that you often would give a little bit more credit to than maybe this 85-1 number would suggest.
Anybody can beat anybody in a one-game series. It's really what it comes down to. And we talk about bad baseball. Forget about like the teams that are headed to the playoffs. Let's just focus on bad baseball teams. We laughed at the Orioles all season long, right? They have 48 wins. They don't have 3 wins. They don't have 5 wins. They don't win one game every month. They have 48 wins at basically not trying to win. That tells you everything about the individualistic. How about that, Ken? That's a linguist here in the morning right now. You know, where everybody's trying to get a hit. Everybody is trying to pitch. Everybody's still trying to have a job for the 2022 season. And if you get into a one-game playoff with anybody, even Max Scherzer on the mound in a one-game playoff, a 2-run home run in the first inning due to a bad pitch, now you're behind the eight ball with Max Scherzer and the Dodgers. It can happen.
Also, when you look at the three AL East teams that are in this race, you notice the gap between the Yankees and Boston and Toronto. And unfortunately, it's one that makes all the sense in the world. When Boston finishes their series with the Mets, they'll play the Yankees. And then they'll play Baltimore and Washington. Toronto has a date with the Yankees as well. But then they're also going to play Minnesota and Baltimore. When the Yankees finish with the Rangers, Donnie, they play Toronto and Boston and Tampa Bay. The Yankees don't have that gimme series in the way that those other two squads have. Sure, an opportunity to beat who's in front of you is there, but nothing is going to come easy for a Yankees team that's struggled to put the appropriate results up ever since that 13-game win streak ended.
But you have a high payroll here. This is what you're supposed to do as the Yankees. And I think you can ask most athletes here coming into it and say, well, what do I want out of these series here? How about times when you play Minnesota, you play Baltimore? You know what else you're doing, Kevin? You're looking up at the scoreboard going, I wonder what that team is doing. You know what the good part here of the Yankee schedule is? You're not looking at the scoreboard out of town. You're looking at the scoreboard that night. You have everything in front of you here to make the playoffs. Win and get in. Lose, you go home. If I'm an athlete in New York, this is what you paid me to come here for. Let me beat the teams in front of me here and look at our scoreboard, not hopefully one of the other teams in Major League Baseball beats one of our rivals. No, you're playing your rival. Beat your rival on the field.
And to be fair, and it's a great point by you, but the Yankees in a similar fashion to the Phillies, as if them playing the Cleveland Indians would help them, who they dropped 2 out of 3 at home to, because of course they dropped 2 out of 3 at home to Cleveland in the heat of this race. Taking a break here on the early line. We're coming on back talking a little hot or not with an eye on the rookie quarterbacks. Keep it right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. We got a little hot or not coming up here. And I want to talk about the rookie quarterbacks because we saw Mac Jones become the first quarterback from this previous draft class to get his first career win. The question is which quarterback will do it next. So, Donnie, hot or not, Justin Fields will be the next rookie quarterback to notch his first career win.
In a surprise, like a guy that we didn't even anticipate maybe playing for the first 9 or 10 weeks of the season, looks like legitimately, Kevin, he might have at least a 2 to 3 week window here in the NFL to prove his mettle. Now, we do see right now that he's going to come up against a team that he's probably not going to beat on the road, but also rookie quarterback first start of the road usually doesn't work out all that well. But at the same time, Kevin, I'm saying, okay, you dip your toes in the water here in the NFL, get the feel of starting. You know, maybe you have a decent game, maybe you don't. But I'm going to say hot, and the reason is, Kevin, it's not because I think the Bears are a good football team. I don't. You saw Justin Fields struggle already on the field last week against the Bengals and almost hand that game over all by himself to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. But case in point, you're playing this week on the road in the game. I don't think you're going to win. But let's look on the horizon in this three-game window. You know who comes to town on your home field, Soldier Field? The Detroit Lions. I'm going with an absolute – now, again, they still have to win the football game. But if we're just trying to measure it up here, the first rookie quarterback with a chance to notch his first career win, it has to be him. Yeah. Because if we take a look at the Jags, week four, hey, they're playing the Bengals. But they got to go on the road to beat the Bengals, who look like a decent football team. We take a look at the Jets. Here's the one you might have to wait it out for, right? The Atlanta Falcons, they play in week five. But the Jets look terrible. If the Bears can keep control and maybe Fields has a decent performance, get some motivation and get some, you know, acumen here in the NFL the very next week, that's probably the best shot for a rookie to notch his win. I'm going hot. I'm going Justin Fields picks up that dub.
I am going not because I think we're playing a very interesting game here as it pertains specifically to Justin Fields, Donnie, because we both agree. He doesn't win this week at Cleveland. It's a tough place to go and win your debut. Are we positive he starts at home against Detroit?
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, Matt Nagy's made it very clear that Andy Dalton is his guy. Matt Nagy and Andy Dalton are thick as thieves, and I think he'd love to make sure that Dalton gets the win against a Detroit Lions team when it's all said and done. And one of the caveats about this all, about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I very clearly have a blind spot for, and who knows, maybe I'll just make them my money line dog all 18 weeks and hope we can bring one of those home, is they play week four Thursday night football, which is an interesting, again, little give and take here, Donnie, because I know road Thursday night teams are absolutely not your style. But for Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, obviously getting that just a few days in front of that Lions-Bears game could make all the difference. The thing about the Jaguars, Donnie, that I really wanted to bring up here and Trevor Lawrence as a whole is he had great number. The total numbers week one were big enough. The total numbers week two were horrible. 14 of 33, 118 yards. They're home this week. The only one of this bunch to be home this week. And there's got to be some upsets somewhere because it's funny. We look at these three teams and their schedule. All right, we're already looking at week four slate. Is there any world where the Jaguars could avoid an 0-3 start being at least home against this Cardinals team?
I mean, there's a legitimate chance, but, you know, maybe before the season, if we didn't really know what the Cardinals would be, even though we both thought they would be a good football team. It's hard to win on the road in the NFL. That is a fact. But the other part of it here is I swing it back to Justin Fields. Like, I get chuckles here because we know what that fan base really wants. They don't want Andy Dalton there. Matt Nagy wants Andy Dalton. So if we take a look this week, and let's just say, you know, to play devil's advocate, Justin Fields goes out on the field. They don't win the game, but he shows like, hey, man, struggled a little bit early on, but he really came alive in the second half, and we lost that game by a touchdown. Local doctors in the Chicago area might diagnose, you know, Andy Dalton's knee injury and put him in a full body cast so he can't actually show up for the next 4 to 5 weeks and let Justin Fields play football. I do agree that I think you bring Justin Fields along slowly here, but this is so interesting because we didn't see a lot from Justin Fields other than like, hey, he looks like a rookie quarterback. But also keep in mind, backup quarterbacks don't get a lot of work with the first team during game week. That's just a fact. Justin Fields is going to be, knowing he's the starter for a week, get mentally prepared for that, be the apple of everybody's eye at practice, which you're going to hear this week. Hell, man, Justin Fields had what a week of practice. I never saw a kid so locked in practice. We just needed to translate in the field because if he plays well, keep in mind also, Kevin, the Cleveland Browns coming in extremely banged up in this game, particularly on offense. If he plays this one close, there's a legitimate chance that the Bears will start him the next week and maybe be able to take down the Detroit Lions. Fascinating to watch. It's a great question you brought up, but I think Fields has the best possibility as an oddsman to pick up that dub.
Now, it certainly doesn't sound like we're giving old Zach Wilson any love here. Mr. No. Four picks and the New York Jets. See, this is the interesting thing about this Jets team. Is it feels like they're now viewed as the worst in the NFL. And this offense is deplete of anything that has a positive outlook, mustering up 14 against Carolina and 6 against New England. Although maybe the Carolina defense is better than we thought. Tough to tell early with a 2-week result. But the thing is, Donnie, like, what's the deal for Zach Wilson at Denver? Home versus the Titans, a London trip against the Falcons at New England off a bye. They might bench him that game just to keep his, you know, just to keep him safe. I mean, when do the Jets break through here?
That's going to be a tough one. And I guess since the Eagles pummeled Atlanta in week one and they go get pummeled by Tampa Bay, every team is circling that one as a chance. Like, you just scour the roster, like, you know, or the schedule. Like, yes, we play Atlanta. That's a legitimate chance. And it is a neutral site. It's a weird environment going over to London. But it's interesting to see the fact that Zach Wilson, he was really bad in that second game. And Bill Belichick does that to a lot of rookie quarterbacks. But those throws where it leaves his hand and it's like, who's the wide receiver? And who is he actually trying to throw here? There were a lot of those throws in that football game. But maybe it is that the Panthers have a really good defense, and obviously the Patriots have a really good defense. They just need to play somebody without a really good defense. This week, another really good defense for the Jets. Maybe when it eases up a little bit, we can grade Zach Wilson and the Jets' offense a little bit easier.
I can't wait. This Carolina defense goes Zach Wilson, Jameis Winston, Davis Mills to start. Yeah, we'll figure out about that defense whenever Tommy B rolls to town.
A lot of get the Washington football team's defense.
That team's terrible. We're so bad. Josh Allen will finally have a good game. Don't you worry, Bills fans. I'm on your side this week. Now, here's the interesting thing, Donnie, right? Like, if we were in charge of booking this market, Fields is your favorite. He'd be the most bet option on the board. But we would have to hang a fourth option, give him a shot. Because people would want to bet good old Trey Lance. You know they would, Donnie. You know they'd love the big plus money shout on Trey Lance here. The interesting thing is, I still don't know when Lance takes over / if Lance takes over, but I still kind of think the Niners would prefer him to be their starting quarterback when the playoffs are nearing. Do you still get those same vibes from the Niners, or are we riding the Jimmy G train until this season is done?
I think you ride it for as long as you can because you're trying to get into the playoffs, which is always fun. You look at the FanDuel, you know, sportsbook odds here for NFL Offensive Rookies of the Year. Mac Jones +300, Justin Fields +400, Trevor Lawrence +700, and then Trey Lance is fourth with an 850. He's not even on the field. Najee Harris is on the field almost every snap. Jamar Chase, week in and week out there through the first 2 weeks, is making big plays out here. It's amazing. And even Zach Wilson at 12-1. Like, Trey Lance might have like 25 plays on the season and he's still fourth. Does that mean if he takes over in week 13 and wins two football games, he's the favorite to win rookie of the year? There is a whole lot of love for Trey Lance. And quite frankly, now early in the season, I can't see it. Why? Because he's not even playing right now. Is he going to parachute in week 8 when the Niners are 7-1 and lead them to the NFL playoffs and a top seed? I mean, hey, good for the kid if it happens, but I don't see it. But it feels like that betting market is like, ooh, I'm just waiting here. I'm sitting back and waiting for Trey Lance to be the starter week 11, then pouncing on this.
It's this, the entire market comes off like a read option, and FanDuel's holding it right now, and they're waiting to figure out when they can pull or if they need to hand this thing off. Because if he comes in within the first 5 weeks of the season, he's the dead favorite, no questions asked in my mind. They're going to go to the playoffs. He'll put up big numbers in the Shanahan offense. We have more faith in that than Mac Jones or Fields, who can't hold on to the job because Nagy loves Dalton, or Lawrence and Zach Wilson, who might be the two starting quarterbacks for the two worst teams in the NFL. But when we get to like week 10, that's when they'll be like, okay, I don't think Lance can make it up. Donnie, he only has one less touchdown pass than Zach Wilson on the season. Trey Lance might actually finish higher in rookie of the year voting than Zach Wilson if the season ended today.
Like, it's crazy, but that is the betting market, and the market is there for a reason, because the odds tell us and the bettors tell us that he should be in fourth place right now. But I'm sorry, like, if I'm trying to bet on a player to win an award, I think he needs to be on the field to actually win the award, because Mac Jones isn't going anywhere. Justin Fields, we'll see how serious the Andy Dalton injury is if he plays well, but it sort of feels like they want to go back to Dalton. Trevor Lawrence isn't going anywhere. Najee Harris, Jamar Chase, Zach Wilson, Devontae Smith, Kyle Pitts, Rondell Moore, Jalen Waddle, they're not going anywhere here. And of all those names I mentioned, only one guy is not playing football, and that's Trey Lance.
Donnie would like to book your Trey Lance offensive rookie of the year wagers. We might as well, Donnie, just quickly bring it up since we're here. Najee, Jamar, Devonta, Kyle Pitts, the skilled players, they feel more live to me through 2 weeks of the season than I would have thought coming into the year, because it's hard to beat quarterbacks. But again, Mac's not putting up crazy numbers. And you've got Lawrence and Zach Wilson on the two worst teams in the league. Like, Jamar Chase is 2 for 2 with touchdown games. Kyle Pitts is going to come along more and more. I think we saw that last week. Devonta Smith was wonderful in the first game of the Eagles season. Are we buying the skill position players a little bit more 2 weeks into the year?
Yeah, why not? Like, and also, there is a backlog to this, Kevin. You know who Jamar Chase reminds me of? Another LSU wide receiver, not Odell Beckham Jr. We're talking about Justin Jefferson. Comes in as a rookie from LSU and lights up the NFL. Now we're seeing through 2 weeks. Remember Jamar Chase? Oh, man, look at this bust. He can't catch the football, and he's blaming that there's no white lines on the football that they were in college compared to the NFL, and he can't catch it. Oh, my goodness, he'll never make the transaction here. But when you take a look right now, I don't understand this, because he at 12-1 here. Who would you rather have right now, Trey Lance or Jamar Chase? Jamar Chase might actually score 10 touchdowns on the season. Trey Lance might throw 10 passes on the season.
Come on. Apparently those 10 passes mean a lot. You know what's funny? You know who the Niner is in this market that makes me really interested is Trey Sermon at 40-1. Yeah. But I also can't figure out what's going on with Sermon in San Fran. Healthy scratch week 1. The Mostert injury comes home to roost immediately. He's not active to capitalize. All right, maybe week 2's his week. He only gets one carry. What's the deal with Sermon out there 40-1? Interesting stuff. We'll come right back more early.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back back right here. Quick little segment before we hit hour number two. It gives us an opportunity to actually bring up Ben Simmons. We were going to give out of here tonight. It's JT Realmuto. I did a great job. There's other Philly stuff to get to here because clearly Donnie and I are seeing this differently. Donnie believes that Ben Simmons should show up to 76ers camp despite the fact that everybody has made it clear that he doesn't want to be there, including the Philly faithful. Donnie, let the guy go. You already broke up with him. Why are you trying to keep him around?
Hey, Deshaun Watson, why don't you pick up the phone and call Ben Simmons, because this is how the Sixers are about to handle you here. Hey, you know what? Is he going to play? Nah, we'll see. Is he going to play next week? Nah, we'll see. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to find his pockets, and we're going to throw a pizza party for the city of Philadelphia with every time $1 million is taken away from Ben Simmons. Look, he's going to be out of town. He's probably not going to play for the Sixers again. But my favorite part about the Philadelphia fans kicking Ben Simmons out, no. Ben Simmons kicked himself out when he refused to take a jump shot for his entire career. Ben Simmons kicked himself out of Philadelphia when he refused to dunk a ball on 6'1" Trae Young and pass it off to somebody else. Ben Simmons refused to take shots and lead his team. So if he's going to refuse to actually show up here to training camp, Sixers have every right to sit him on the bench and wait until everything is in their minds. Because if Ben Simmons says, I'm showing up and not happy, you have to pay him. If Ben Simmons says, I'm not showing up, I'm not happy, I'm going to stay home, the Sixers can recoup all the, hey, maybe they get $140 million back over the next 4 years from Ben Simmons as he sits on the bench.
The thing is I won't combat Donnie giving that take. That's fine. The problem is that not only did Donnie give that take, Doc Rivers gave that take. And then Joel Embiid gave that take. What did you think was going to happen here when we talk about tanking value and leverage? Nobody's ever done this. The Pelicans sit around and be like, hey, by the way, Anthony Davis is injury prone and we don't want him anyway. No. They're like, that guy's the best big man in the NBA. The Rockets are like, we'll get uncomfortable. James Harden's the face of our franchise. The Sixers were like, this guy's terrible, terrible. We want Damian Lillard and a couple pieces. Yeah, good luck with that. You're getting nothing. Here's the backup Tyrese Halliburton, maybe, for Tyrese Maxey. Straight up, hour two's next.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.